Hi, I'm Mark Brody, and this is the Friday Newscap Podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
The reason this bill is being brought is that people are abusing the fact that we have this immunity. This immunity is not so that we can be speeding when we're not doing our jobs.
I can support taking action that would make election results more happen faster, but we're not going to do that in a way that disenfranchises voters, and that's exactly what this bill does.
It really negatively impacts voter satisfaction when ballots are being counted for 3 weeks.
We want people to be safe. We want to make sure if somebody is here illegally, you've committed a state crime, you're going to be picked up from prison or jail and not released into the community.
If they're out there disabling these drones and they're falling out of the sky, my question is, why are you out there at midnight on the border? There's nothing good happening on the border at midnight.
Everyone has to stick with the budget they have until we understand clearer what's happening at the federal level, because it's impacting 20 county departments, 93% of our grants. I mean, we're talking how many millions of dollars.
And with me to talk about the governor's first veto of the year, a proposal to introduce bounties in Arizona and more, are Matthew Benson of Veritas. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
And former state lawmaker Reginald Boulding. Reginald, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So let's start with something that was not a surprise in any way. The governor had said basically she was going to veto this bill that would have aimed to speed up elections in large part by cutting off the time by which you can drop off your early ballot at a polling place to the Friday before Election Day. She had telegraphed she was going to do this. Not much of a surprise, but lawmakers this week also went ahead and approved, at least the House, approved a proposal to basically do the same thing, but send it to voters in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's absolutely, you know, commendable that, you know, we want to speed up election results. And I think everyone wants to, you know, have that instant gratification of who won an election immediately right after. But the question is, you know, do you want to trade accuracy and safe and secure elections for speed? And I don't think that's what voters want. I mean, you know, we're in this day of instant gratification. I mean, if you're elected to office, you're not even starting until, you know, first or second week of January. The question is, can we wait 48 hours, 72 hours to make sure that we have an accurate count of who won an election? And I think we can. And, you know, if there were several solutions that Governor Hobbs and legislative Democrats tried to come up with, but Republicans just didn't want to take those compromises.
Matt, I would assume, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I would assume that this proposal gets through the legislature to get on the ballot in 2026. I guess the question is, do you think, assuming that happens, will voters support this?
Well, let me say this. Yes, this measure is going to get to the ballot, so voters will have that choice in 2026. But getting back to something Reggie said, I mean, I think it's a false choice to say we have to choose either accuracy or speed in our elections. Okay, and I don't think. Voters expect instant gratification when they ask that they know who has won a race within a reasonable period of time following the election, because currently it takes 2 to 3 weeks, okay? And that's a long time. And that space in time that's a vacuum that allows all kinds of doubt and speculation and grifters and other people to crawl into that space and cast doubt on our elections. And that's a real problem.
How much of this do you think comes down to the fact that in many cases in Arizona and, you know, throughout the state, races are closer now than they have been over the last couple decades? I mean, this policy has been the law for a very long time now. You know, 20 years ago, you could still drop your ballot off at a polling place on election day, and it would still take a little bit of while to count. It just didn't seem to maybe matter as much because the races had basically been decided. The margins weren't so close.
That's true. I mean, California has even slower election counting than we do, but it doesn't matter there because their races are generally known and the results are called well early. But with Arizona and the fact that we are now a swing state and we have many very close races, it's just unacceptable that it takes this amount of time to actually get races, to get the vote count completed. And getting back to what you asked originally, yes, I do believe voters are going to approve this because they do want to know, they want the vote to be counted and completed in a reasonable time following the election.
Do you think this, assuming this makes the ballot, do you think it passes?
Maybe. It may pass. And, you know, I think, you know, if you have administrators in place, both Republicans and Democrats throughout, you know, the counties, you've had, you know, Republican Secretary of State and Democratic Secretaries of State. You know, if there was an easy fix and an easy solution, it would have been done by now. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, we're going to have very close elections and we're going to, you know, have this, again, instant gratification of who won the results immediately after, I think it's unreasonable. I mean, and we're also talking about, you know, less than 1% of all of the races that are actually happening that, you know, that those nights. And I mean, if this is all really goes back to, you know, the 2020 Donald Trump election, you know, and when he was not, you know, selected by Arizona voters. And that seed and that doubt is just continuing.
But I wish that was the case. But, I mean, we've both been around long enough to know, and Mark, you as well. I mean, this long precedes 2020. I recall it was like 2010 when it was Democrats pounding on drums outside Maricopa County, you know, tabulation center saying, you know, count the vote. And so this is not new, and it's not a mystery why it's taking so long to finish the vote count. It is the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of ballots that people request to vote by mail that they don't vote by mail, and they drop off on election day. That is the issue.
And to that point, that's a system that Arizona voters want, and it's incredibly popular, right? I mean, it's a popular system. It provides Arizonans the opportunity to select the candidate of their choosing, and they should have that decision, right, whether to drop it off at the polls or mail it.
Well, it seems like voters will get a chance to weigh in on whether they want to keep it that way. So moving from the speed with which ballots are counted to the speed at which some legislators drive, there's a proposal that gained approval in a House committee this week to ask voters to do away with legislative immunity for traffic tickets, just for traffic tickets. We saw already this year two state legislators got out of tickets because they are state legislators. This seems like one, Reginald, that would maybe have a harder time getting out of the legislature than getting approved by voters.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think voters think that there should be, you know, two forms of justice, one for lawmakers and then one for everyday citizens. You know, I think, you know, it is commendable that both Republicans and Democrats are saying, hey, this legislative immunity statute that's on the books is outdated. We don't need it. You know, if you are breaking the law as a lawmaker or as a citizen, you need to be held account. And I think it's going to pass and be signed to law by the governor.
What I mean, curious what you make of this. Governor Doug Ducey had asked lawmakers several years back to do away with this after a few lawmakers had gotten busted for speeding and not had to pay their tickets. Do you think this is something that legislators will get behind in large numbers?
That's going to be fascinating.
Isn't it?
I mean, I think it's an open question. If it does get to the ballot, it's going to break all records for public support. I mean, you're going to be able to count the no votes on your hand. So, yeah, well, I think everybody's going to be watching very closely.
And, like, I guess both of you have spent a lot of time. You were in the legislature, Reginald. Matt, you spent a lot of time around legislators. Is there, like, what's the justification for trying to use this when you're not going to miss a vote? You can call the Senate president or the House speaker and say, hey, I'm running a little late. Can I hold up for a minute if it's going to be a close vote? Like, what's the justification for using this anymore?
I mean, let's just call it what it is. It is using privilege in a position that, you know, you and in situations when you shouldn't be using it. At the end of the day, you know, they're not even on. My understanding is that these lawmakers weren't even in, you know, they weren't trying to go make a vote. I mean, some of these, you know, things are happening after hours or on weekends. I mean, it's just simply trying to use the privilege of the position. And because of that, you know, I think, you know, that should be definitely taken off the books.
Matt, as a kind of inside baseball question, this proposal was sponsored by Representative Wynn from Prescott Valley. And the first person this session who used legislative immunity is his seatmate, Mark Finchem, Does this cause inter-district or inter-legislative district squabbles, do you think?
Oh, 100%. But I think that friction preceded the bill.
Ah.
There are no coincidences.
All right. So another committee this week that got to work that hadn't been at work for quite a while was the so-called Dino Committee. This is the panel that vets Governor Hobbs' nominees to lead agency directors. It had met for like a year and a half. There was a whole lawsuit. The governor withdrew her nominees and then tried to appoint them basically as assistant executive directors or whatever the name was. The legislature sued. The legislature won. So the governor and this committee are going back at it. Matt, this week, Michael Weishart, the new head of DES, was unanimously confirmed by the Dino Committee. But it's interesting that we are in February now, about a month into session, and this is the only hearing they've had and the only nominee that they've heard.
Yeah, not exactly moving at the speed of business.
Is this another one of those there are no coincidences?
No, there are not.
What do you make of this? This is Michael Weishart, somebody who's worked at DES for quite a while. Governor Ducey had tapped him to lead the agency during his administration. Well, clearly somebody who seems to know what he's doing there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a softball for the governor's administration, and this is also a softball for the Dino Committee. You know, it gives them the ability to say, hey, you're sending us names, and we're approving folks. And it's the governor's office saying, hey, we're trying to meet you in the middle. You know, we're trying to find folks who would be amenable to the committee. Ultimately, I don't think that we're going to see many more of these confirmations, which is unfortunate. You know, the governor should have the ability to select, you know, her directors of choosing to run her administration. But, you know, ultimately it was a win for both the administration and the Dino Committee.
Well, and Reginald, to your point, the Senate committee, the Senate GOP had called on the director of the Housing Department, that nominee, Joan Service, to resign over some allegations there. So we'll see exactly how many nominees this committee actually gets through. Reginald, let me start with you on what the sponsor, a bill, is calling the Bounty Bill. This would put a fee on international wire transfers and take that money, put it into an account, and would give Arizona law enforcement agencies a certain amount of money if they arrest somebody in this country illegally, and that person eventually gets deported.
Yeah, this is probably one of the worst pieces of legislation that I've seen down at the legislature. This bill would essentially provide a financial motive for law enforcement to target people based on race, ethnicity, and perceived immigration status. That's just something that we don't do. And it absolutely has the ability to erode the trust between the community and law enforcement. I mean, moreover, what you're going to find is immigrant communities, communities of color, they're going to be afraid to call 911. They're going to be afraid to call the police and report crimes out of fear that the law enforcement may have a financial motive to, you know, arrest someone. And that's just not something that we want to do. I mean, there's a number of issues. I mean, even moreover, you know, families who are from immigrant backgrounds who are sending, you know, legal wire transfers over to folks in other countries, they're now going to, you know, have to pay an additional fee. So they're going to have a deeper burden when they decide to send money back home. This bill is just one on so many different fronts that's bad, and I believe the governor already indicated she would veto it.
Yeah, she was not unclear about what she would do with this bill if it got to her desk. Matt, the sponsor of this bill, Senator Jake Hoffman, says this will not lead to racial profiling. We heard that at the top of the show, that this doesn't tell law enforcement how to do their job. I would imagine he would go on to say, in theory, this is something they should be doing anyway, and we'll just reward them for doing it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the financial incentive here created is obviously a step the state has never taken before. I would tell you this, Mark. There is a meteor the size of a 10-story building hurtling through space toward Earth. I don't know how much time we have left, and we're talking about a bill that there is no earthly chance the governor will entertain. This is political theater. And that happens at the state capitol, but it's not going anywhere.
Wait, you're saying political theater happens at the state capitol? I don't believe that. Well, so along those same lines, there was a Senate committee this week that approved a bill. Presumably, this is also one that the governor would not sign. although I don't believe she's spoken up on it, that would essentially require state agencies and local law enforcement to cooperate with ICE and other federal immigrant authorities. Would you put this under that same category, Matt, in terms of political theater? Or is this maybe more of a substantive discussion?
This is certainly more substantive, and I think this is obviously aimed at those communities that have quote-unquote sanctuary policies that prevent their law enforcement from cooperating with the feds. I think we saw via the proposition that voters overwhelmingly approved at the ballot in the last election, Arizona voters want to see local authorities cooperating with the feds on immigration-related enforcement. And so this is just more of the same.
Do you agree, Reginald, this is maybe a more of a substantive discussion than the bounty bill?
More substantive, absolutely. Misguided, misdirected, I believe so. I mean, when you look at public safety, local public safety, there are a number of different issues that our local law enforcement community definitely need to have the resources to fight. And by diverting their attention and their resources to federal immigration law really moves from, you know, the local public safety issues that communities are asking for. I mean, every single year you look at every city, every town, there's a conversation about law enforcement needing additional resources. So now what we're saying is we're going to stretch their resources even further when there's already gaps there. I just don't think that it's misguided and misallocation of resources.
Matt, let me ask you kind of a philosophical question, because for so long we've heard, especially from Republican lawmakers, that, you know, if the federal government won't deal with this issue, we have to ask the state. But the federal government clearly is now taking this issue very seriously and taking a lot of action. It doesn't seem, at least from an outsider perspective, that the legislature is sort of backing off on immigration bills. I'm curious, like, what's the calculus there? What's the thinking there for the GOP?
Yeah, the calculation's pretty simple. I mean, illegal immigration and border security remain arguably the number one, maybe the number two issue among voters statewide. And the belief that, yes, the federal government is taking this issue seriously for a change, but that there's a benefit to leveraging all resources and having them work together, and certainly not having communities that, you know, have sanctuary policies that prevent them from coordinating with the feds on this issue. It's a big enough issue that it requires all hands on deck.
So not so much a matter of, okay, the feds are finally dealing with this, let's let them deal with it and see what they do and how well it goes, and then we can sort of fill in the gaps. They're trying to get in on it sort of on the front end?
Absolutely, and I think that's what we have seen, that is what voters want in this state, whether you're talking about approval of the proposition in the last election, Donald Trump's election, you know, in 2024, I mean, you name it, this is what voters want.
Well, so let me ask you, Reginald, the flip side of that, which is that, as Matt said, like, this does seem to be something that voters have voted for. They put Donald Trump back in office. He ran on a platform of mass deportations, among other immigration and border related issues. So Democrats sort of in the opposition at the legislature, what's the thinking there in terms of maybe how far to take some of that opposition, or maybe here's some things that maybe we don't oppose that we would have in the past?
Well, I think it's I would push back on just sort of the narrative regarding what Donald Trump ran on. You know, he wasn't specific at all during that campaign. And there is conversations about border security, right? You know, now with regards to border security and, you know, deporting, and folks and separating, you know, moms from their children, people who've been here. Undocumented who have, you know, committed no crimes, you know, ripping, you know, going into schools and child care centers and churches. I don't know if folks voted for that. You know, they voted for, you know, border security. And I think that there are significant differences when you talk about immigration, whether we're talking about deportations, refugee asylums, border security, we're, you know, building a wall. It's not just one thing. And I think that what we've seen is the GOP has actually been very successful of pulling a bait and switch and saying, hey, you said you voted for us because of immigration. So that means all things immigration that we have the ability to do. And I don't think that's what voters are saying.
So then in your mind, should Democrats sort of be focusing on the how as opposed to the what?
I absolutely believe so. I mean, you know, I think you have to be pragmatic when you talk about providing an immigration solution. It is not a simple one-size-fits-all model. So what's the policy? What does the policy do? And then we need to have the discussion by policy, not just on a, you know, 30,000-foot level immigration conversation.
Okay, guys, just a couple minutes left. Let me ask you about one other bill that is working its way through the legislature, this dealing with the death penalty, and would switch out lethal injection, which is the state's current method of executing a death row inmate, and instead go to the firing squad. Political theater, substantive discussion. Matt, what do you think?
I mean, it's not going to happen. Now, what I would tell you is the reason this bill comes forward is because the anti-death penalty extremists in that legal movement have made it virtually impossible to obtain the drugs required to conduct an execution in Arizona and other states. And so that's part of the reason it takes years and years to finally get justice for these victims' families and whatnot. And so here we are, you know, talking about a firing squad.
Arizona, though, has had its issues over the past several years in terms of successful, I mean, if you can call it successful, successfully carrying out executions under the current method.
Yeah, I think what I would tell you is states know how to conduct a humane and efficient execution. The difficulty is obtaining the proper substances to do it. And that's because of the there's an entire movement of folks out there who put every bit of their energy into making sure states can't obtain those substances.
Reginald, do you think this is something that's actually going to happen?
I don't think it's something that's going to happen. I mean, I think whether or not you have a death penalty in this state is a substantive conversation, and people have different views on it, whether they're religious views or not. And you know, I think this is a broader conversation. But you know, ultimately, you know, if a state's going to have a death penalty, it should be done in a humane way, something that voters agree with. So,
all right, we'll have to leave it there. Reginald Boulding, Matthew Benson, thanks you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's biggest stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Mark Brody. Thanks for listening.